It is so good to see you this morning. Welcome everybody online and every visitor as well. Well, let's begin today with a question. Raise your hand if you care about your health. Good. Oh, I am glad to see that. I was afraid you'd think it was a trick question or a judgment. I ate too many sweets this week. I still care about my health. Let's try another one. Raise your hand if you care about relationships. If you're sitting next to somebody who didn't raise their hand, this is a good time to just give them a gentle nudge. Make sure they're awake. Here's one we can all raise our hands on. Raise your hand if you care about someone or something beyond ourselves. And I already know this about you because I see it in your actions. This passage talks about not just using words, but the necessity of actions. And actually, he says, don't use words, but he's writing with words. So I don't think he means that literally, but that's another conversation for another day. I see this in your actions, in your giving of your time, of your resources, of your care, of your love. You do this so well. Here's why I name each of these things. Caring about someone or something beyond ourselves, caring about our health, caring about our relationships, because they're all impacted by our confidence. Think about something you care about and how it's impacted by your confidence or your lack thereof. I think this is especially tricky for us as Mennonites, because many of us, at least for myself growing up, push back on this later. Tell me about it if this was not your experience. Many of us as Mennonites have this aversion or allergy to confidence, particularly overconfidence, right? Did any of you have this experience? It's like, so we settle. We know we don't want to be overconfident. We know we don't want to be underconfident, and so we have this weird spectrum of choices of like belittling ourselves and overly criticizing ourselves because we think that equates with humility, which it doesn't, to some sort of like humble brag, to some sort of like passive aggressive overconfidence. I see you're nodding heads. This is tricky. Confidence is tricky for Mennonites. How do we do this well? If we were doing a barn raising, if we were joining into a barn raising, would we want to be working next to somebody who is confident about their humility or who is humble about their confidence? And I think the trickiness of this deepens, not just for us as Mennonites, but because we live in a world that says, fake it until you make it. Fake it until, you've heard this before, right? Yes. Maybe this is your motto. Maybe this is your favorite expression. I really dislike this idea that we fake it until we make it. If I had a list of top 10 favorite things about Zion, one of my favorite things about Zion is our authenticity, that we can be real with one another. It's one of the reasons why in 1992, in the fall of 92, as a college student, I started coming here to Zion because of the authenticity, that we could be real with each other. I love authenticity. I don't want to fake it till you make it. And I've had my days and seasons where confidence is a struggle for me. I had struggle with confidence this week as I preached about confidence. So I want to go to why we're thinking about confidence today. Last week, if you were here, we completed these papers about how our lives would be different if we knew that Jesus loves us. Everybody completed the paper, and 11% of the people here said, I would have more confidence if I knew Jesus loved me. Well, that caught my attention. I don't think we talk about confidence very much in our Mennonite circles. or I've missed it if we have. 11% of people thought they would have more confidence if they knew Jesus. So I hope that every one of that 11% of people are here and online. I know some of you are listening to that today, listening to this service today while you drive, and I hope everybody's catching this. 11% of people wanting to grow in confidence. Before we get to how this relates for us today, we have to dig into the scripture and what was happening for John as he's writing to, it was a circle letter, as he was writing to the churches. They had this thing happen in the churches that sometimes happens, where many people left. And as often happens when many people leave a church, there was belittling, there was complaining, there was accusations, and there was confusion. Confusion about who God is, because the people who were leaving left to go to Gnosticism, which has some similarities to Christianity and some differences. And so the people who were left in the church were saying, well, who is God and what do I believe? They're trying to make sense of their lives. And John is trying to build up their confidence. It reminds me of a story of a person who was tapped on the shoulder to be a pastor. And this person thought they had no business whatsoever being a pastor, particularly because at one point in their life, for years of their life, they had turned away from God. And not just turned away from God, but even belittled God and people of God. And little by little, God turned this person's life back to God and eventually back to Jesus. And one day, this person was tapped on the shoulder to consider becoming a pastor. And it was such a shock to this person that it took months of prayer. They missed out on months of delight with God because it took them so long to trust, to have confidence that they could do this. And one of the reasons why their confidence was struggling was because they didn't have the education they thought they needed. Well, one day, a guest pastor was preaching from this pulpit in this room, and they stepped to the side, they left their notes, and they left their sermon that they had prepared, and they said, "It does not matter what education you do or you do not have. If God calls you to something, God will provide." That gave me courage to have confidence that God would provide, and God has provided abundantly through people in this room. I think it's tricky because there's a misunderstanding we have about God. See, God will always lead us. God will always invite us into something that is beyond ourselves, that is beyond our abilities, beyond our knowledge. So when we say no to an assignment or to a role, and no, I'm not thinking about a particular person who just declined a particular role. I don't have you in mind. But what I see is this pattern in us sometimes that we decline something because we think, well, I don't have those skills. I don't have that knowledge. Well, what if we said, okay, I don't have that, but God does. God can provide that through me. Because God is always growing us. We don't want to be in the same place a year from now that we are today. God is always growing us. I want to go back to something I said a minute ago about John. I said that John was writing this letter to build up their confidence. And that's true. But let's zoom into something even more important that he was doing. John was writing to show them that God was building their confidence. See, do we want a confidence that is based on our own reps and skills and knowledge? Do we want a gospel that depends on us Or do we want a gospel that depends on Jesus? Because if our gospel depends on Jesus, it's settled. We have a godly confidence that God invites us into, a confidence that is beyond ourselves. So then our invitation is not to just make a copy of somebody else's idea, like the fake it till you make it. We don't need to be a copy of something. Our invitation is to marry together all of our weaknesses and skills and giftings and talents and resources and inabilities, to marry all that we are to Jesus. And then we have more than enough. It reminds me of a story of Elisha. Elisha was a prophet. And he and the Israel and Syria were at war with each other. And the Syrian army had come to Israel because they wanted to capture Elisha. And one day, the servant of Elisha wakes up early, and he looks out, and he sees that the city is surrounded by the Syrian army. Surrounded. That reminds me, side note, of Karen's children's lesson last week. If you didn't catch it, go to Zion's webpage to the link and watch that children's lesson, because in it, she had a jar, and inside the jar was an egg, and the egg represents us, and the jar was filled with water, and the jar represents God's love. So we know that when we bring all that we are and marry that to all that Jesus is, we are surrounded by God's love. I'll go back to the story of Elisha. The young man looks out and he sees that they're surrounded by this army. Don't let the military pieces of this distract us, Mennonites. They're surrounded by this army. And he panics. He runs to Elisha. What should we do? And Elisha prays. Doesn't pray that the army leaves. Prays that the servant's eyes would be open to what God is already doing in that situation. And he prays, and God answers the prayer, and the young man's eyes are opened, and he sees that Elisha is surrounded by his own army. What if our eyes were opened and we could see better what God is doing amidst all the challenging circumstances that are also evident in the world? What if our eyes were opened? I want to invite Betty Lou forward to read a passage of scripture for us. And we're going to try to demonstrate this. And then I'll try to teach you. And Betty Lou is going to read, and I've asked her this first time. Okay, Betty Lou is going to be inauthentic for a moment. You all know how Betty Lou reads scripture with enthusiasm and passion. And this first time, I've asked Betty Lou to read the passage as though it's boring. We'll see how this goes.
It's rather hard to do. But, oh, it really ought to be Irvin Stutzman up here reading this. Aww. He is a guy that can really read scripture so well. But I'll give it a try. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Thank you.
Somebody must stay here. Yeah.
the body is filled with many gifts, and Betty Lou, thank you for using your gifts in this place. The point here is sometimes we approach Scripture as though it's boring, as though it has nothing to say to our present moment. What if we came, Scripture is just one example of many we could do. What if we came to Scripture expecting? What if we came to Scripture confident that God still has something that God wants to show us? Betty Lou, if you will read this as Betty Lou normally does. Okay. Same passage.
Well, note the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ in this scripture, Ephesians 1, 3 to 10. And notice how enthusiastic Paul is in these blessings. He hardly knows when to end one sentence to begin another. So here we go. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy, to be blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed through Christ, to be put into effect when the time is reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and in earth through Christ.
Thank you, Betty Lou.
You're welcome.
Which way teaches us more confidence? I want to teach you a way that I've been using of reading Scripture that has boosted my confidence in God. There's three steps. The first step, I'm forgetting at the moment, hold on. I have confidence in God to bring this back to mind. This is not a trick. First step, open your Bible. Start with a gospel if you're not sure where to begin. Read until you get to the tug. The tug is something that captures your attention or your imagination. It could be something good, it could be something bad, it could be something confusing. Read until you get to the tug. Once you get to the tug, stop and ask questions about the tug. Particularly ask questions about, what is God doing here? Or what does this mean in light of Jesus, through whom we best understand Scripture? After you're through processing those sets of questions about God and the tug, ask, how does this connect to my life in this present moment? I've had three epiphanies on Friday from this practice, and I wanted to share it with you. We're actually going to practice this together now so that you can start to understand and learn it yourselves. So I invite each person who I tapped on the shoulder to surround us in prayer, to come and surround everybody in this room. Dave, if you'll come up here, front and center. Somebody get in the middle aisle, and everybody else go to the exterior aisles. Now, it may not be many people, but what I want you to notice is you're surrounded. And even after the people sit down, doesn't mean they stop praying for you. Their job in this activity is to be praying for you, and you are a congregation that prays for one another. So even when you can't see that you're surrounded by love and prayers, doesn't make it not true. I invite you to turn in your bulletins, flip over to the back, and I've listed a couple of key verses there, one about Jesus, one about God, and one about the Spirit. And I invite us to read until we get to the tug, something that pulls on you, good, bad, confusing. And once you get there, go to the screen, and we're going to have some questions there for you to process. Read until you get to the tug. People surrounding us, please pray.